are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop seriously. With me, the boy whose grades have gone down from A's to D's for way too long, Joel Babington, and your favourite London boy that's from halfway around the world,
oh my God,
David Lim.
That is so clever. How long do you spend writing these intros?
Since when we finally decide who we're doing, I then spend the entirety panicking. And then normally, like the day before or the morning of, I come across something.
Inspiration hits.
And then I rewrite it about five times. How are you, Davo?
I'm good, Jolie. It's so good to see you. And I must say, guys, by the time this episode comes out, we would have celebrated a very special milestone for our JB.
I will have turned 30. Can you believe it?
Oh my God. Welcome to the 30 Club. I mean, this show, we're constantly looking back into stuff that makes us happy from our childhood years and from our teen years. But God, like, do you feel the more we do this, the more like we're coming across these really big milestones? Aside from yours.
The biggest.
The biggest of all milestones. We're getting stuff up 20th anniversary of this or that. And it's just like, that can't be 20 years ago.
Both of us, I would say, have been nostalgic for the 2000s since 2010.
Yeah.
You know, we always loved it and never left it. But as obviously more time's going on, it's entering that stage where more and more people are getting nostalgic for it and getting on board. And it ties in with all these anniversaries. And, you know, let's just say, hopefully, we're going to be seeing a lot more, as much as we love the 80s and 90s events, festivals, all of that, yeah. Live for it. We're the Right Back At You boys. We live for the 2000s. So hopefully there's going to be even more and more and more stuff for us to relive.
Right Back At You Festival. Live Nation, we are available.
Get Jennifer Frost on the phone.
CEO.
CEO Jen with the Right Back At You boys. So guys, today we are doing an episode that I have wanted to do since the beginning of this podcast, but old Down Under Dave needed a little bit more convincing. So imagine how shocked I was when he suggested that we should do the 18s for this episode.
You know what? We were actually going to do it within the next maybe 10 episodes when we caught up just a few weeks ago. But I brought it forward by several weeks because I was like, now is the time. It's just, I feel it in my bones, you know?
Look, we went 360 and beyond. Davo said to me, Joel, I put it on the list of our episodes. He was like, Joel, I think that's a little bit niche. And I was like, niche?
Coming from us.
That's our podcast. It's about us and it's about what we love and what you guys love. We can be as niche as we want. Plus, I said, this isn't niche. It's the 18s.
To be honest, like, I've made you do Pop Stars Australia and that was like two separate pop groups that you had to completely dive into without knowing anything about. Whereas this group, at least we both had a bit of awareness of, and this group has a big international following. But I feel like now is the time for me to get into it. And I feel like I've arrived.
Dave, though, look, I love it when we did Pop Stars Australia. You've brought two of my new favourite groups to me. And guys, just to tease, maybe in the future there might be another heavy Australia research for me, but you know, we're not committed to anything because we've made announcements on this podcast before and then changed our minds. So David, look, I am upside down bouncing off the ceiling because I am so excited and I don't want to hide it. Before we get into it, can you read a lovely five-star review?
If you want to help Right Back At You get a little bit more presence and a bit more visibility on the old Apple iTunes. They don't even call it Apple iTunes now. It's just Apple Podcasts.
Just Apple, darling.
Just Apple, babes. You can leave us a lovely five-star review because that always helps. And this one is by Scotty Smith 26. And it says, discovered this wonderful podcast when a wave of S Club nostalgia came over me 12 months ago. This helped me remain calm, positive, and smiling throughout the pandemic. But most importantly, introduce me to Rachel Stevens' Come and Get It album.
Well, look, when I look back on my 30 years thus far, that's top achievement, introducing this album to Scott.
And the rest of the review goes, I have listened to the podcast religiously since, including all the older episodes. Oh, don't go too far back.
Do we need the streams?
Great recap of an incredible era of music and introducing to new music. Thank you both.
Oh, Scott, thank you, baby. And if you're thinking, Joel, his birthday, I really love him. He's a co-host on my favorite podcast. Tell a friend to listen to us.
Speaking of our show, introducing artists and music to people, the VC, Vitamin C.
The VC.
How many tweets have we gotten in the past year and a half about people coming into the, what's it called? The multivitamin.
The multivitamins.
The fandom. Oh, I live for that. Honestly, that makes me happy.
That's what we do. And the audacity of you saying this could possibly be too niche when we did the VC.
Oh, yeah.
And that's no shade on the VC, because I now love the VC, which maybe we'll talk about in our next episode, the mailbag episode. Anyway, strap in and let's go on this journey. Today, we are talking about the 18s, a band that became Radio Disney darlings and defined the Y2K era of pop. Formed of four teens from Stockholm, the incredible Marie, Dani, Sarah and Armit, echoing the lineup of ABBA. So we have Marie, this blonde, I would say she's the lead singer. The girls have quite equal footing, I'd say, in the band, but I would say she's more the lead singer.
Well, Marie certainly feels more like the kind of baby Mandy Moore with a bit of a Joss Stone face. And some pictures I look at, I'm like a little bit of Taylor Swift face as well.
David, it's like you've read my notes for the next single. Then we've got Sarah, a perfect second lead vocalist, if you will.
Mm.
Lovely brunette. You know, great. We have to say in this band, everyone has great vocals. So a fantastic, prominent vocal for her. Then you've got the boys. You've got Dani.
Blonde teen heartthrob. Jesse McCartney, baby Nick Carter vibes. Yeah.
And then you have Armit, the other boy in the group, brunette guy.
He looks like he could be Latino, he could be Asian. I think looking at his Wikipedia, I think he's like his heritage is Swedish Indian or something. You can just see these four on a poster anywhere in the world and it would make sense. Do you know what I mean? Like there was something for everyone here to identify with.
You could see it halfway around the world and it would make sense. And what was amazing, David, was all four of them attended the same after-school dance school.
So it's a very natural kind of chemistry, right? Because they were already mates before.
And that is what, they were all sent to this same audition. And the producers saw that the four of them had this bond. And that's what really stood them out in this, you know, we've seen pop stars, we've seen The X Factor, we've seen Idol. That kind of set up, but pre all that. And these young kids stood out with their vibe, their essence, and just four super talented young teen superstars to be. They were originally put together as a band for a one album and tour deal to be the ABBA teens in the late 90s. This was to celebrate 25 years of ABBA's music and introduce their back catalogue to a new audience. We hadn't been blessed with Thank ABBA for the Music and Mamma Mia the Musical yet. To give context and to make our listeners feel old, this year, 2021, we will be celebrating 25 years of the Spice Girls' first album.
Oh my God.
But I do not think we are ready for the S-Teens anytime soon.
No. I think because obviously ABBA's music is so incredible. And I had a quick listen through this first album. You can't do wrong by ABBA's music. Whether you like the production or the vocals or not, the songs are solid. So when did you first come across ABBA's music is what I wanted to know.
I think the first time I took on board ABBA's music seriously was Thank ABBA for the Music at the Brit Awards.
Wow. That must have been the same year as this, right? 99? Because it must be like the same anniversary.
Yeah, the 18s were formed in 98 and then all the ABBA stuff came out in 99.
I think ABBA's music has always just been in the background of my life. Like, I think it's always, it's just always referenced in the same kind of reverence that my dad had for, say, the Bee Gees, the Carpenters, Donna Summer. Like, they were just always revered. I don't remember ever seeing, like, an ABBA Greatest Hits CD, but it was so part of just the soundtrack of life.
Here, ABBA Gold was like a prominent CD. I feel like every parent when I was growing up had Abigold on CD. Everyone had it in their cars.
Everyone's car. What's that drawer in the front seat? Yeah, that one.
Yeah, the glove compartment.
Yeah. I haven't driven a car in a long time.
This car comes with a free copy of Abigold. The original idea was to have an Abertines in each territory, but these guys proved so popular and quickly became global that a UK, a US, a Down Under Abertines were not needed. Realising there was a lot more to this group than originally conceived, they were quickly rebranded from the Abertines to the A-Teens, giving them the possibility of longevity and a life outside of Abercovers. I actually came into A-Teens more via kind of later in their work and knowing them by just being a 2000s pop addict rather than the ABBA connection. So in April 1999, their debut single, a version of Mamma Mia, went straight in to number one on the Swedish charts and eventually went quadruple platinum there. And their first album, The ABBA Generation, topped the charts in Sweden and sold over 2 million copies worldwide.
Wow. Jeez.
Jeez Louise. In early 2000, they launched in America and even toured with our Queen Britney on her US summer tour that year. The ABBA Generation was a gold-selling hit in the States and eventually sold over 1 million copies there.
In the States?
In the States, David. 1 million copies there.
So the ABBA Generation album was so big for A-Teens that there was a Spanish language EP called Extra Teens.
Ladies and gentlemen, A-Teens and J-Lo singing Gimme, 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 Spanish.
And then it segues into Mi Chico Latino.
Yeah, you already think you got A-Teens, J-Lo, ladies and gentlemen, Geraldine, Estelle, Hallowell.
Oh my God, I wish this was a video because you guys could have seen Joel doing a Strictly moment. On top of the Spanish language EP, the band also had a remix album, which is thankfully available on streaming, but that was a Japan-only release at the time. There was a Trouser Enthusiast dub remix of Mamma Mia, very rave-tastic. These people work with Danielle Minogue. There is Work in Progress, who have remixed for Steps before. They did Super Trooper.
Yeah, and I love that because it's so, especially at the moment, it's so popular to do a side B or a remix album. And it's like, our kids, get that on. They were doing that 20 plus years ago. In September 2000, the band won Best International Newcomer at the Viva Music Awards in Germany, beating Christina Aguilera and Blink 182.
Who?
It's there, but Blink 182, it's there that they announced their first original track, Upside Down, would be the lead single of their second album. And that is where we're starting our deep dive today. But Davo, before we get into that, I have a question for you. Do you think this first ABBA era set up the blueprint / ignited the idea for Simon Fuller to create S Club Juniors?
S Club Juniors must have always been a natural thing, you know, seeing how successful the mother band did. But why wasn't there a collab or like a TV show where both bands could have come together and then like do a joint tour together, maybe like a mixtape or an EP?
S Club Juniors launch was kind of always a few steps behind. If S Club Juniors launched in 2002.
And also I feel like they were so young.
A-Teens were already a little bit older by then. Yeah.
So it's sort of like A-Teens were graduating high school and S Club Juniors was coming into it.
Exactly. I would love to have seen it. So David, let's jump back in with the A-Teens' first original track, Upside Down. One of my favorite songs of all time ever, full stop. This is definitively up there as one of my top two Y2K anthems of all time. It's this, this song and Mandy Moore's Candy are my top two Y2K songs.
So one of my fondest memories is seeing Joel go absolutely mad at Push the Button when they played this. You jumped on the stage, right?
Yes. Now, the stage is a continuation of the dance floor at Push the Button while there's no one performing. I didn't just climb on there and push people out the way.
Some queens fell, but, you know, the JB was in the zone.
It did feel like there was only about three of us, including me, on the stage. You didn't join me.
And I just felt like you
I'll just watch.
I just thought that was your moment. You needed that space.
This song is like a... it's like an adrenaline shot and a huge sort of serotonin injection at the same time.
Definitely, yeah.
This is like my musical antidepressant. This is a song I've put on in many times of need. It's like, just get it on, hit it on repeat, sing it in the shower, dance around to it.
Bounce around the bedroom, ceiling, yeah.
Bounce around the ceiling, do whatever the hell you need to do. This song is legendary. Not only was it their first original song, it then did go on to be their signature hit and their most successful song to date. We are waiting for Upside Down Part 2. Both the song and the music video really do encapsulate and are the perfect examples of this Y2K pop that we love and we celebrate so much on this podcast. It shows the band in an alternative world where everything is, you guessed it, upside down.
There's proper budget, there's choreography happening. It was shot in LA.
Absolutely. If you were a pop star in the year 2000 and you had a music video, this is how you wanted it to look like.
It was, yeah. The director, Pat Keeley, actually did Steps Chain Reaction and also shot 18's video for Dancing Queen. So they know what they're doing. It is balls to the wall fun.
You know, my dream in life is to have a house, and I would love every...
style it like this.
I would like every room to have a theme. This makes me sound like... well, anyway, I don't care what this makes me sound like. I'm just me. Do you know what I mean? I would love...
I just want to be me.
I just want to be me. You have to think about other things like compromising with a partner and whatnot. But in terms of just me, love to live in a house where every room had a theme. Like literally the dining room, the kitchen, hopefully a disco room. Everything would have a different theme. So like 60s, 70s. I wouldn't have cruise ship in my house, but I would definitely have like...
it's like your Kylie Love Boat room.
Yeah, a Kylie Love Boat room. And I would love to have maybe the bedroom or maybe the living room or maybe a second disco room if there was, be this like Y2K music video look room. So you have the Y2K dream house. You also have these cars. It's got the W Bug car, which we also see in Mandy Moore's Candy music video.
Oh, yes, the Volkswagen. Very iconic of the time.
Amazing choreo in this video. Choreographed by Wade Robson, icon of the time.
Very of the time. Wow.
Choreographer for Britney Spears, the who's who of the time. Outside of Europe, David, the song was retitled as Bouncing Off the Ceiling, open brackets, Upside Down, close brackets.
Not to be confused with Diana Ross's Upside Down, of course. That's what they were worried about.
Wow, that is the mashup I need in my disco room. Upside Down, we were bouncing off the ceiling for this around the world. Number 6 on the US Hot Dance Singles and number 93 on the Billboard Hot 100. Very impressive.
It cracked the Billboard 100.
Legendary moves that we could only dream of. A number 2 hit in Sweden. It became platinum in the third week of release in their homeland. Number 10 here in the UK, their biggest hit here to date. Scotland, number 6.
Yes, Scotland, come through. They were bouncing off the ceilings.
They loved it. It probably, maybe they did a Tom Aspel and it came with a free bottle of poppers.
Joel, these are teenagers. I mean, you know, if the record company feels that works, then kudos.
It works. So they're sending it to over 18s.
Oh, okay.
The over 18s. 10 in Germany. In the Netherlands, it hit number one on the Dutch Top 40 Tipperary. Not sure what that is, but we love it. And also in the Netherlands, number 28 on the single Top 100. In 2001, Devo, this was the 25th most played video on MTV Mexico.
Now, Jolie, when did you discover this song?
Probably was about 2004. A lot of this music had just passed us by, but the internet was booming. So I was able to just throw myself into it.
Now that we're in a streaming world where you could pay like a monthly subscription fee and literally at your fingertips discover any song from any country, any genre, we take for granted there was a time where we had to wait for things to be released locally, for you to go in a store to get it, promote it on the TV shows and magazines and radio shows you consumed to be aware of it. Everything just felt so much more staggered and like so much effort and you know, for things to reach you. Whereas now it's just all there.
Yeah. And I would say in about 2006, I had my second iPod, which was a iPod Video. Very kindly, my friends, and actually kind of the whole, we were such a small school, so the whole school kind of, everyone put like a few pound in and bought me this iPod for my 16th Aww. Birthday. So kind looking back at it, really, really sweet. This was kind of the mainstay on the iPod, and that the 18's greatest hits and this song and this music video were kind of like A-list rotation. So it was especially then, really, when I was like a teenager, between 2004 and 2006, when you're really finding your identity as a teenager and you're like, this is what I need.
Yeah.
I need to be a little bit different from everyone else. But everyone also kind of loves that about me and finds it quite funny. And that's kind of my quirk. So Upside Down was, in my opinion, a better song than anything in ABBA's back catalogue. And let's see if they can deliver some more bops in that way. With their first album of non-ABBA tracks, Teen Spirit.
This was a time where teen pop acts were really booming. You know, we're seeing Britney and NSYNC, as we said before. So there's no reason why Sweden couldn't give us a pop group like this.
So let's continue that and see what else we can do to top ABBA's legacy.
You know, you can only go so far, but with four kids that are very hungry and ready to work and performing to a high level, there's no reason why they couldn't take it further, yeah.
Now, this album is a really strong album, and I'm so happy we are doing this episode because it even took me doing this episode to really appreciate the output and the quality of this album. We have Firefly on this album, which is a beautiful mid-tempo number. It really feels like something that would fit perfectly on a film soundtrack, you know, something that really has that epic quality. You can feel it playing out, especially over this era, the prime era of teen films. You could really see it playing out in that atmosphere. Firefly, come back to me, make the night as bright as day.
This is hands down the best album track. I can see this being a very big hit, especially on Asian radios. That gorgeous, earnest chorus. This is 18's Born to Make You Happy.
I just needed to sit with that thought for a second. I love that. Thank you. And then also on this album, David, obviously it's a Swedish album. We've got quite a few Max Martin-esque slash wannabe numbers, which I wholeheartedly love. Every song should be a Max Martin wannabe number.
Some of the stuff I think has probably already dated by the time this album came out, but still, it doesn't take away from the fact that there are some very solid songs in here. I have to say, some of these R&B moments on the album really caught me by surprise, and there weren't many. There were two tracks in particular that, you know, they were trying to give us a little bit of NSYNC meets Liberty X, which I'm here for. Slammin' Kinda Love. I mean, that is a sexy, hip-grinding moment.
Yeah.
You know the lyric, I know you can give me the things I'm dreaming up. It's you and me, baby. We got a slamming kind of love. Now, I feel like that's a very clumsy lyric. You know, it's like, I feel like maybe the original demo would have been like sexy kind of love or crazy kind of love. But slamming, that's like, I don't know what that is. That doesn't sit well. You and me, baby, got that sexy kind of love. Bow, bow, bow.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like...
For Liberty X would have been good.
Sexy.
Maybe it was too Radio Disney to have, you and me, baby, we got that special kind of love.
Special is just clumsy. Listen to me, I mean, songsmith David Lim telling you what works. Giving you that critique, 18s.
Reads that one book, How to Write a Hit Record.
Change a word, get a third.
That is the most, I would say, the most Max Martin-esque bop on there. But we also have That's What It's All About.
I can hear this on a Javine album. Like...
Oh, yeah. I also, speaking of Max Martin, there is a very Ace of Base light sounding song on there, which is All My Love.
Oh, okay. I feel like this Ace of Base comparison is going to come up a bit because I've got a few thoughts on that with the next album.
Oh, you don't?
I do.
Stop it. This album went in at number 50 on the US Billboard Hot 200. Now, that's really impressive.
Wow.
For a band like this, you know, our faves S Club, they've had a top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 single, but I don't think their albums ever did this well. Number 2 on the Swedish album charts. Number 5 in Germany. Number 13 on the Swiss album charts. 13 on the European top 100 albums. Now, David, this album went gold in Chile, in Sweden, and in the United States. Over 500,000 copies in the United States. Now that is absolutely fantastic. So moving on from the album, David, let's move on to what I would consider their other signature hit, Halfway Around the World.
I know it's signature to you, JB, and you might have played it for me when we were having our wine nights when we were living together, but it took me this episode to get into Halfway Around the World, and I must say, I am really obsessed with it right now. Like, this is my big takeaway from doing this episode. The beat reminds me of, you know, that hit by Tampere featuring Maya, Feel It. What's she gonna look like with a chimney on her? What's she gonna... You know, the bit of just dum da dum dum da dum.
Yeah, now you say it. No, we just needed... if there was a little section of this song with the... What's she gonna look like with a chimney on her? Dun, 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 dun.
You know, I was just actually thinking to myself, the last episode, gosh, David, you were singing way too much. And
you were gorgeous.
Now we're like getting the JB side of the disc.
This music video is amazing. It features the 18s in all different parts of the world, because, you know, they are being halfway around the world.
This is very clever. So it's one continuous camera shot movement to the right. And as they keep, you know, sauntering to the right of the screen, the landscape and the backdrop changes. So I can't even imagine what the set must have been like.
The production.
Did they do this on a giant circular stage with different countries depicted?
Yeah, probably.
And then the outfit change as they go from one country to another.
Literally, today, little snapshot, everyone, in the day we're recording. Today, we've got bright sun right now. Earlier today, we had snow. I had to go for a walk earlier today. I felt like I was in the Halfway Around the World music video because of global warming. This music video has the greatest music video reveal of all time. So we have four members of the 18s in their different places around the world. It's a split screen. We have a black bar between each of them. While they're stood in their four singular locations, they suddenly then push over the black bars that are separating them, and they're suddenly all in one location and go into a dance break together.
Yeah. It might have been the wine at the time on Friday night, but I was like screaming. My notes was screaming.
As a creative producer, that is the kind of thing I would dream to produce and shoot and come up with.
So one of my favorite parts about my little 18s discovery is actually seeing their Top of the Pops performances. To me, this is really where the band do come alive, because they do these out and out choreography. It's kind of reminded me of like when I would be taking in a new K-pop song. Sometimes on YouTube, I like to just watch the dance performance videos. And this is where I think 18s really sold it for me. Full choreography, everything. Like, it just hits different.
As a logical pop fan, I know that even if they did a reunion, it probably wouldn't make it to the UK, unfortunately. But it's watching these performances that make me think, oh my God, I would love them to do a reunion so much. Because imagine getting to see a live 18 show and seeing this Take It to 11 choreo and performance. Me at GAY. Yes! Okay, so this song, big hit in Sweden, number 7 on the Swedish charts. It went in at number 30 here in the UK. 18 in Scotland. Our Scottish listeners, Scotland charts, you have stepped up this episode. 51 in Germany, 73 in Switzerland. So, continuing on with this era, I was going to call them the Sugar Babes. The 18s release Sugar Rush, the third single off the Teen Spirit album. You make me so excited. I think this is a really decent third single, but I don't think it is it the way that Upside Down and Halfway Around the World are 10 out of 10 bops.
You know, this song is okay. For me, it's perfectly pleasant, breezy, mid-tempo. What I really like about this single is the single cover, actually. The image is actually the Asian edition cover for the album.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous, but also everyone is wearing way too much print and it's like very busy. You know, there's lots of graphics and tie-dye happening. The band was very big in Asia. They toured and promoted relentlessly around there. Singapore, Malaysia, Japan, Thailand. In fact, in Thailand, 18s were the face of Coca-Cola.
Wow.
And they were the first international artists to have that privilege of doing that.
That is very cool.
What's really like sinking in with me in the research for this episode is realizing how much overseas work they did. Like, they really hit up almost every territory.
Yeah.
We're going to see more of the South American love in the later eras, but, you know, they hit up Asia. They did a good job there because they saw that the records were being received well. They went where the work was, and you got to salute that.
This song, David, was actually also released and covered by the American boy band Dream Street, which is the Jesse McCartney roots. He was an original member of Dream Street. That is how he is known and originally became famous.
Wow.
So they released this on their debut album as a third single for themselves as well in select regions.
Oh, poor Sugar Rush. Always the third single, never the first.
Always the third single, never the first. So look, David, this music video is a gorgeous summer beach music video.
It was filmed in Malibu while the band was on tour with Aaron Carter. I think they were support acts for Aaron Carter, but Jolie will tell me that they were co-headliners.
It was a co-headline tour.
Featuring support acts like Leslie Carter, which is Aaron's older sister, and Swedish girl group Play.
If you listen to I Must Not Chase the Boys when you were a child, you are a cock destroyer now. I don't make the rules.
Sorry to all the Radio Disney listeners, we didn't just say that.
David and I listened to that growing up, so.
I thought you were going to say David and I are cock destroyers, but.
Well, I'm saying we listened to it growing up. What we absolutely needed at this time was a 18s summer special with skits and performances. The Disney Channel needed to show up and show out. And maybe they did, and I'm unaware of it. 18s could have really done with a Disney Channel in concert special around this era.
Yeah.
A lot of these acts we cover, Aaron Carter, Samantha Mumba, Jessica Simpson, Britney Spears, everyone gets like a big Disney Channel special that really helped. And NSYNC. I think NSYNC say that really is kind of what changed their pathway from European hit to like mainstream American act.
Also in August 2001, the band headlined Radio Disney Live, playing 7 dates across America with, again, our boy, Aaron Carter. Not our boy, but, you know, he's somebody's boy.
You can find Aaron Carter on OnlyFans.
Oh, okay. Also, Jump 5 was on a bill. We've mentioned Jump 5 before. They're a Christian pop band.
I would say Jump 5 are the Christian pop equivalent of the 18s. Now, look, guys, I know you're Christian pop, but spinning around screams gay rights to me, and thank you very much.
You know, while we're talking about their touring credentials, 18s really did work very, very hard in this territory. So when we're seeing their albums chart in the Billboard 200, that did not come out of nowhere. They put in the groundwork as early as 1999, supporting NSYNC on tour, the same tour that also Wild Orchid was on, a.k.a. Oh. Fergie's girl group. That same month in 99, they also performed at Nickelodeon's Big Help holiday special with Britney, NSYNC, Diddy, Aaron Carter again.
The guy from the script in his original pop band.
In the summer of 2000, they did support our girl Britney on the Oops, I Did It Again tour. What I found really amazing was also as part of this support act, Caravan was Sister to Sister, Australian duo.
Did they become another band later or no? It was just Sister to Sister.
Both of them are now and have been maybe for the last 10 years, Delta Goodrum's backup singers.
Delta, next time you're over and you're doing GAY and you can't afford to bring Sister to Sister, we'll do the Beavers.
After an incredible 2001, they're keeping up their American visibility by appearing on the Princess Diaries soundtrack with an original song, Heartbreak Lullaby, in December 2001.
Yes, you can say keeping, you know, the American audience, but this wasn't actually on the US version of the soundtrack because apparently the film was already out. But I'm sorry, I feel like you're doing an injustice to our 18s by saying that.
Now, Jolie, this song is written by our beloved Kathy Dennis, and very sadly, the original version's not on streaming, and I don't know what the fuck has happened.
So, yeah, there's two versions of this song, the kind of more up-tempo version and the ballad version. So the ballad version is what we have on streaming. this up-tempo version was actually new to me, if I'm honest, because I've been all on stream, I've been all about the greatest hits.
I don't think it's 18's finest moment, but you know what? To be able to say I was on the Princess Diaries soundtrack is a blessing.
Got the B-side of I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day. Perfect thing to do on a December release. Put a Christmas single on there.
We love a winter warmer.
In at number 6 in Sweden. Very, very good. 77 in Germany and 97 in Switzerland.
So next comes, now this is the big one, JB, for me. Next comes in May 2002, 18's cover of Elvis Presley's Can't Help Falling in Love. Now this was my very, very first introduction to 18's. I came into this via the Disney Channel, seeing this music video played between programs, because it was on the Lilo and Stitch soundtrack. Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you. Shall I say, would it be us?
You can imagine in your head when a certain 2000s pop act does a cover of this kind of song and you kind of think, okay, but I have to say this is a really, really lovely cover of this song.
The vocals are excellent on this. I remember the first time I hear it, I was like, I have to get on LimeWire straight away and download it. I think a lot of our noughties pop groups did very good covers. You know, you look at Our Girls, Atomic Kitten, The Tide Is High, Eternal Flame, Ladies Night. There is no denying they put their spin on it, and I'm sure the critics were upset and shook and bothered, but it's not for them, it's for us, and we enjoyed it. This video was the point where I think teenage me sat up and looked at Dani and was like, okay, tanned, surfy blonde highlights, I see you.
A young teenager watching this music video, and then I'm also seeing another teenager that my body's saying some things that I can't comprehend. But okay, thank you.
Noted.
Noted that no one else can know about as far as we're aware. And then turns out you're doing a podcast years later. And
and yeah, you've just, you know, basically called yourself a cock destroyer a few minutes ago. Yeah.
It was released in Australia, David. It's the first sighting of Australia on this episode. So I don't know what you guys were doing, but this was a number 35 hit in Australia. Would have liked you to show up and show out a little bit earlier on, but we're happy to see you now. Number 50 in the Netherlands and 12 in Sweden.
Oh, okay. Thought it would do better in Sweden, but you know, they already support 18's a lot. They can take a back seat with this one. Let Australia step in.
Exactly. And, you know, it's, I know it's technically from this album we're about to talk about, but it is a soundtrack single, really.
So now let's move on to June 2002, where we have 18's third studio album, second as an original artiste, Pop Till You Drop. So this album is a US-only release, and it came very deliberately off the height of them releasing Can't Help Falling in Love. Now, JB, I have to say, this album cover is taunting me. I can't take it. This photo shoot with this white backdrop, it just looks a little bit budget to me, and I expect it a little bit more.
Right, sorry, where's the leave button on this Zoom call? I completely disagree. Completely disagree, David Lim. How dare you even say this in front of me virtually? That I think it's actually very American straight up. It's, this looks like the cast of an American hit TV show. Do you not think it's very high school, American high school teen dream?
I think they deserved a little bit better. So with this album comes the new single, Floor Filler, which was released in July 2002. For an album that is US focused, this feels like a very Eurodance moment.
It's the perfect, as you said, floor filler. We I think it's a perfect move for where we're at now. Everyone's a little bit older now, like, especially if you look at like the difference from Upside Down to now. What a growth spurt.
This is the first music video where we're seeing them in a nightclub for a first time. So they're giving you a more grown-up image. And also the first time we're seeing Dani get the lead on the single. Like, he literally sings the first verse, right? And also Amit gets to, you know, do the ad-libby robotic vocals bit.
Yeah.
So he gets the Bradley parts in S Club 7 normally.
And speaking of S Club, don't you think that this feels quite glitzy and a little bit more of a grown-up look? A bit like when S Club did Alive.
I was actually going to say, this is very S Club 7 seeing double era. You know, it's, I can see myself getting white wine wasted, dancing to this in Butlins in 2035. Especially that lyric, hand swinging high like a chopper in the sky. Ooh.
Hopefully it'll be us at the Right Back At You Butlins weekend.
David, this is a work engagement and that's your third bottle of wine. The guests haven't arrived yet.
I feel like I would wear every single outfit that's in this music video today.
I'm just looking at the artwork and Sarah's got this beret. Very me. Love a beret.
Oh,
Baker boy hat.
Look, I love a beret and it really, I've tried so many times and Joel, it doesn't work on my face.
You can really work a beret.
I can't.
I've not seen you try.
It doesn't work for me. I've tried privately and it doesn't work. Look, I'll be vulnerable with the listeners now.
This is the big tender moment of the episode.
You've seen my hat, you know, my Kate Middleton hat, the green hat. The one that she wore on the front cover of Vogue. Maybe in my 30s, something will happen and a beret will work. But unfortunately, thus far, it's not.
So this single was number 4 in Sweden, certified gold, number 33 in Germany, number 36 in Austria. 6 songs from this album goes into their third one called New Arrival, which is the kind of album for the international market. So bear in mind, this is a US-only release, but the rest of the world will get most of this, so we can all enjoy it. But for now, let's get into this album. Some interesting familiar names have popped up in the credits that we know and love. Red One, once again, and also Savan Kotecha are involved in some tracks. Shall we talk about the album highlights?
Yes.
Because I've got one very, very big album fave, Jolie, and it's Closer to Perfection. Crazy about the synths on this. It is so typical of that time to have like 80s synth pop references from a very noughties perspective. This you can absolutely hear as a Saturday's album track. I live for it.
Well, Davo, it is incredibly funny that you should say that because this was my absolute standout of this album. Closer to Perfection. Do you think this would maybe have been a better American facing single than what we've
seen? I think
so.
Also, I think this would have done very well in the UK as well. Another album highlight of mine, if I may say, is Across My Heart. Now, this one, Joel, is giving me Ace of Base, mid-tempo. It's co-written by Marie.
Get it, Marie.
Hold me closer, baby, hold me tight. Something to say tonight. Now hear me out, baby, hear me through. It's only words about.
I can just see this music video in my head. You know that horror movie, Midsommar? That should be the theme of this video. Flower crowns, midsummer vibes. They're all in the field, holding hands, dancing around. It's like a cult, but something dark is happening. But this beautiful, gorgeous bubblegum song is the soundtrack.
So you want the dark stuff happening in the music video?
I think it juxtaposes nicely with the kind of really sweet and innocent vibes of this song. It could be really unexpected.
I didn't like Midsommar at all.
I loved it. I thought it was brilliant.
It's indulgent, and I don't have time for that. Cinephile JB's for a different time and a different podcast. Speaking of this album, David, the most WTF moment on this album for me is the School's Out cover featuring actual Alice Cooper.
That is something you don't see every day.
School's out for summer.
Detention!
School's out forever. School's out.
Do you know what? I want to make some of this Disney radio, this Radio Disney coin. Like, I want to see what that's all about. I'm hoping maybe I might get on a Disney Channel original movie. I don't know.
And it sounds like from everyone's, like, from the accounts I've read from 18's experience, Alice really did take the time to hang out with them, get to know them during the process of recording and promoting. So it sounds like he was really up for it. And I did a little bit of Wikipedia research and I found out that they shared the same American label. So maybe that's where the crossover happened.
Yeah, well, look, David, okay, let's just get him on then for an interview, 20 years of working with the 18. This album peaked at number 45 on the Billboard 200. I have to say, job well done to the 18s. US-facing record, and after a headlining tour in the United States, in at number 45, very impressive, I would say.
I can't stress enough, like, researching this episode, how much graft I can just see between the lines, because there were no TV shows to launch them. There was no instantly big fan base. They had to do hundreds and hundreds of support acts and these types of festivals and like Radio Disney appearances to lead up to now. It was a 30-day United States tour. Off the back of doing the US tour and releasing the album, we of course are starting to see them in October 2002 promoting Floor Filler around Europe and the UK. So, no one in Europe and UK knows Pop Till You Drop. Wink, wink, there's another album coming. New Arrival, here we go.
It's like you're like cheating on someone, isn't it?
Yeah, this is new. Like, we've never done this before.
Never even been to America.
No one's heard this song. What are you talking about? CD UK, you get the exclusive.
But yeah, very clever. And I think, you know, it's like if they really were going to do that, you know, you've got some then exclusivities.
It gives them an opportunity to just focus on one territory and work it and then see what works on tour, actually. Come to think of it, Joel, that's how you'll do your fucking audience research.
Before the internet.
Before internet, before streaming numbers can tell you shit like that, before Instagram polls. 18s were out on the streets hustling, finding out which songs you liked.
Finding out what are the actual floor fillers.
Thankfully, the six songs they chose to carry over to New Arrival were ones that we liked.
The better, the bops. Did you know that actually the title New Arrival is a play on words of the ABBA album, which is called Arrival?
Oh, I didn't know
that. Yeah, dead clever. Dead clever. Oh. Can you believe it? Absolutely.
Really good. Now, unlike my qualms with Pop Till You Drop, I really love this album cover.
I think it's gorgeous and I love it as a visual. What I generally don't like in a pop album cover when some members seem more prominent than others.
I know, but
like on the second Girls Aloud album, What Will the Neighbours Say? And they're all on a montage and some are a lot bigger than others. I like equal footing on my members, you know?
So this final 18's studio album, Jolie, is where we're starting to see the South American territory come into play.
And that love is still happening to this day. The South America fan base for the 18's is still going strong. And absolutely hats off to the South American 18's Hive.
Yes. So, shall we talk about the single from New Arrival, which is A Perfect Match?
David, it's like us. You like Grease, baby, I like Snatch. That's what makes us a perfect match.
You spend your money on diamonds and pearls. I sell my cars just to travel the world. I look broke, baby, do you're into fashion, dinners and art. I know the sound.
Lyrically of this song is probably not my favourite. I like the song. I like the ethos. I like what it's about. Look, we've got to say this a lot of our songs we discuss across the board. As kids, a lot A goes over our heads, or B, we don't look into it lyrically. And I think that's fine. I think if a song works and we're just going along with it lyrically, that's all that matters. But you like Grease, baby, I like Snatch. I know the South Park series by heart. A lot of this doesn't feel quite right for the band.
On a whole, the lyrics are naff. Let's just call it what it is. It's a bit naff.
Yeah.
So I've watched a video a few times. I've listened to the song. The one thing I really like about it is this feels like an ancestor to One Direction's What Makes You Beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, it's got the same kind of Grease, modern day Grease vibes.
Yeah, I appreciate that a lot. Thank you for bringing that up. The music video is co-directed by the actual A-Teens.
And do you know what? This was shot in Cuba. There is a whole telenovela narrative happening on the side around them about a rich girl who falls in love with a poor boy.
See, now don't you think that's what's missing in this career when we look at... There needed to be a TV show or a moment or something. So you can say, there was all this acting, all of this. And then there were the A-Teens.
I know. But I just don't think acting was in their wheelhouse.
I think it was.
This was a very big success and very on demand with MTV in South America. This song, as much as we're a little bit like 50-50 about it, this song is one of their biggest hits in Sweden and in Latin American markets. Number 2 in Sweden, which is a great achievement. Number 2 in Mexico. Number 5 in Argentina, where the album wasn't even released. Number 11 in Chile. Hello, Chile. Number 77 in Germany, sadly. So it feels like, you know, you can't be everywhere all at once when you're promoting. So it feels like the European markets might have missed out a little bit while the heat was on in South America. What I really like about this, though, that I can take away is the styling in one particular shot where Dani is wearing this bright orange mesh top with a white t-shirt underneath. I'm like, that looks inspired. I might steal that.
If you don't see us wearing that at the next RVT Push the Button, then we've failed ourselves, David.
So we must say, also, Japanese pop singer Nama Tamaki recorded this track with completely different lyrics. Her song is called Heart and Soul. And Jolie, it absolutely slaps. I think this is the version for me.
If you can take this good song and take the naff lyrics and make it better, then sold.
And the guitars just feel a little bit crunchier as well. I was like, yeah, dead rocky.
Rocky. Rocky. So let's talk about the new arrival album, shall we, David?
There are some interesting new additions here. A couple of covers that, yes, I thought some worked, some I don't know were necessary. But the one I really liked, Joel, is the 70s disco cover of Shame, Shame, Shame.
Shame, 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 shame. Shame on you.
Which also Sunita covered at some point in her career.
Oh, God bless Sunita.
I really like A-Teens' version of it. I think there's more crunch. I love the electric guitars. Do you know what? This should have been the follow-up single in America.
Yeah, or at least a double A-side, maybe. So a bit of Light and Shade.
You know, give us Floor Filler, but also Shame, Shame, Shame for the morning after.
Yeah. The parents that, like, didn't mind, can't help falling in love, while your kids are enjoying Floor Filler, you've also then got Shame, Shame, Shame as a double A-side.
I love the sound of that.
So speaking of covers, shall we speak about what's not a cover? Little track on there, Have a Little Faith in Me.
Very deceptive, because I did look at that, Jolie, and I was about to text you. I was like, oh no, they're coming for Mandy Moore's folk cover.
Amanda Lee!
They're coming for Amanda Lee's thing. We've been talking a lot about our Christian friends, Jump 5. This should have been a collab with Jump 5, in my opinion, because I think Christian radios won't know the fucking difference. They'll look at the title, they'll be like,
Faith.
Yeah, we can playlist that.
Let's put it between Stacey Orico and...
Mary Mary.
There we go. And Michelle Williams.
And Michelle, of course, Tanitra, yes.
And then as the B-side, they should have done actual Have a Little Faith in Me. And could have even got Amanda Lee.
A nice little surprise for the parents, because they're listening to Have a Little Faith in Me, and then it's like... The old Have a Little Faith in Me. Oh,
okay, okay.
We got to think about the market, JB. Exactly. Parents, kids, exactly. Everyone. Exactly. Christians, non-believers, everyone.
Yeah, get it all.
So speaking of covers, there is JB. I feel like this one's right up your street. One Night in Bangkok.
David, I'll be honest. This isn't only one of my favourites on the album, but it's one of my favourite 18 songs.
Oh my God.
Full stop.
Iceland, or the Philippines, or Hastings, or this place.
Now, why I love it is because I love that it is a nod to their ABBA roots. Because obviously it's a cover of a song from the Chess musical, which is written by Benny and Bjorn of ABBA. But I love that it's a funky Y2K mix. I just love it. I love it. I literally would like to go to Bangkok just so I can try and live out this song. Just for the Insta stories and putting this song on the Insta story. And I know that's incredibly pathetic.
But, you know, you got the mansion with the music video backdrops. You can get a private jet to Bangkok, babes.
One night in Bangkok and the world's your oyster. Come on, Marie. Come on, JB4.
I don't like the rap.
Yeah, but imagine that. It's a song from a musical.
Take away the rap.
The rap's gone for JB4, don't worry. It'll just be me, Marie. Well, I'll get all the 18s back. But I do, I know it's really cheesy and it's quite naff, but I love it. Chess is a really good musical. It's been really successful. But I love this kind of full circle moment for the 18s.
Also, come on, 18s is big in Asia. If you're picking up this CD in Thailand and you'd be like, oh my God, yes, One Night in Bangkok.
Smart move.
And then just above that, there's a track called Shangri-La. Oh,
brilliant.
One for the Asian market. Tick.
Get this on in the car straight away. But yeah, and especially, well, like you're saying, like, also the cover does look quite maybe leaning towards that in what you were saying before.
I mean, yeah, it could have been in Singapore or Canary Wharf.
Yeah. Also, the A Perfect Match cover. Feels like if they'd released a One Night in Bangkok single, that should have been the cover for it.
That would have been the cover, yeah. Now, speaking of would-be singles, we have to mention Let Your Heart Do the Talking.
Yes.
A galloping, summery pop mid-tempo, which was actually intended to be the final single, third or final single from this album. Now, Jolie, I want to hear this as a mashup with Rachel Stevens' Sweet Dreams My LAX, because to me they have a very similar rhythmic pattern and guitar pattern. Let that marinate.
Loving your smile, loving your style, don't you get it? Got what I need, you gotta believe I'm already yours.
Let your heart do all the talking.
I'll be honest, I think it is really good for their legacy that this wasn't released as a single. I think there's better songs across this album and Pop Till You Drop.
We've talked about Closer to Perfection.
Yeah, I just don't think this should have been the single. I think this would have been too whatever.
Yeah, it might have been forgotten, but lore has it, 80 copies of the promo single was pressed, but the commercial release was pulled, so...
Pressed and distressed.
So that's our standouts for New Arrival. Have to say, this album made number 4 in Sweden, which is 18's third top 5 album there. Number 7 in Mexico, Hello Mexico, where it spent a few weeks in a top 10. And can't really seem to see any other chart positions, so...
95 in Germany and 91 on the Swiss album charts.
Oh, disappointing. Come on, guys.
Let Your Heart Do All the Talking was due to come out June 2003. So we're skipping forward nearly an entire year. for us to then have I Promise Myself in April 2004. Now, this is the lead single off of the 18's Greatest Hits, which is going to be out in May 2004. I promise myself. This song was originally by Nick Kamen and was then covered by Dead or Alive, The 18's, and Bass Hunter. David, do you remember Bass Hunter?
Ugh, disgusting.
Now you're gone, I realize my love for you was strong. The male cascader, if you will. So, David, I do think this song is a lovely final single, unfortunately.
Iridescent, wistful pop with a dance beat. I think this is very 18s, but also grown up. It shows what could be next for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Nailed it on the head there.
And I think this is the single where we get all four equal vocals, right?
Exactly.
Did we know at the point of this release that they were going to split up? Because I felt like it was rumored and then they denied it on their website.
It was rumored, they were denying it, they were taking a hiatus, and then it wasn't until 2006 that it was confirmed that,
oh, by that stage, 2 years after the Greatest Hits and no new material, we would have assumed you were done. Yeah,
excuse me, David, we had the spicegirls.com for years that said, you know, the Spice Girls are currently on hiatus but are still the best of friends. Something like that. If you watch the music video, it seems, yeah, it could just work as the lead single of her greatest hits, but it seems like they knew it was the farewell single. So for this video, David, we have CGI interaction with the earlier videos. So we have members of the 18s basically interacting with earlier versions of both themselves and other members of the 18s.
It's so cleverly done. Rather than doing a...
It's so clever.
A kind of, oh, let's all sit down together and put on the projector and watch our old music videos. These guys were in their own videos. And you've got Dani, like, in the bathroom, in the girl's bathroom, pointing at the sign and, you know, laughing at a younger version of himself. It is so clever.
I think it is a really, really lovely and really touching moment. And especially now we're here, 17 years later. It's quite touching and quite emotional, being like, this is the last time we saw the 18s like this.
Mm.
As far as 18s classic goes, this is quite an underrated music video.
I feel like they knew this was going to be the final single because they put a message out on the website, right? For people to send in clips or videos or something.
To be part of the booklet for the greatest hits, yeah. But that could just be saying, what were your favourite moments?
Oh my God, can you imagine people like reading our comments and saying, oh, we're doing a mailbag episode, tell us about your favorite moments. It's right back at you quitting. Is there a hiatus? Is the 40th episode our final episode?
No, not a chance. We're still really good friends. And
the JB denies it.
We're just on hiatus.
I've got my solo podcast launching.
David Lim's Real Stories. What am I, chopped liver?
No, we're not going anywhere and we're not releasing a greatest hits as yet. But yes, do write in.
So really gorgeous, 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 gorgeous kind of farewell, unofficial or official farewell moment. So it was released in April 2004 in Sweden, where it reached number 2.
Wow. For a final single, that's a good farewell.
Yeah, S Club only had number 3 in the UK. It reached number 1. In the Ukraine, Estonia and Argentina, and number 6 in Mexico.
Number 1 in Argentina?
Yeah.
Wow, they were like, we got to get out there and support.
Exactly, let the 18s know they got fans. So they followed it up in May 2004 with their greatest hits. So this featured 3 new tracks, one of which was I Promise Myself, and all their previous singles, all of which had been at least a top 20 in one country.
Wow.
We've got another 2 tracks here, The Final Cut and With or Without You.
I think it's absolutely stunning that for the greatest hits, their last body of work that they're pushing out, there are two original songs, and these are two written by the members of A-Teens. They're both really perfectly great departure slash breakup songs. Yeah. So they could have been candidates for a final single.
Absolutely.
I totally get why they went with I Promise Myself, because that feels a little bit more hopeful. But if you listen to the final cut and With or Without You, they are farewell songs.
They are.
A little bit dark and a little bit moody, but the band expressed what they needed to express. The final cut, a funky pop R&B mid-tempo breakup bop, could have been a Liberty X track. Loving the lovely shared vocals there. Some very poignant lyrics. Holding on to yesterday, it'll never be the same. But now it's time to make the final cut.
Get out of my life, bitch. Leave the WhatsApp group.
How could we go wrong? I believe in what we had. I believe in what we said. We gotta understand that it's time to let it go. Holding on to yesterday, it will never be the same. But now it's time to make the final cut.
I would say the final cut is very cool in a 2004 way. And a full album of this could actually have been brilliant. As long as they'd given us...
As long as
they'd given us some bops in there as well. An album like that would have been absolutely brilliant. So then we also had With or Without You.
I think I Promise Myself was the right move, because I think their fans would have been a little bit upset reading between the lines if either of these songs were their last single, because it's a little...
Too final.
Not cold, yeah, but very... They're breakup songs. There's lyrics like, with or without you, I carry on. With or without you, I'm moving on. It's like, if you're a fan and you're listening to your favourite group break up, I think it's a little too real.
It's too real for me now, 17 years on.
But I really like it. And to be honest, A-Teens, you could have made a little bit of cash for yourself if you had given it to one of the other groups. You know, Scandalous, did you want This as your final single? Bardo, what about you? S Club Juniors, how's it looking?
Well, look, that's a really good idea, David. Maybe, look, these two songs now should be like up there on the pop music market as first refusal for any bands that are breaking up. As much as Wikipedia likes to tell me, apparently this Greatest Hits was released on vinyl. As far as my in-depth research goes, it wasn't, unfortunately. If anyone wants to make me a vinylist and send it to me, I would love it. I think this Greatest Hits as a body of work really shows how great their ABBA work was, you know.
You look at where A-Teens are leaving us in sort of early summer 2004. These were really the winter years for our favourite pop groups who debuted in the early noughties. Liberty X, they were sort of quiet in 2004. They would probably only have one more year left in them in terms of commercial success. Steps were gone.
S Club were gone.
NSYNC were on hiatus. Hearsay definitely gone. And the only ones left are really Westlife, which we don't give a shit about.
Sorry.
But, you know, I'm not sorry. I said what I said. But I think, yeah, the world of pop was moving on. Thank God us, we have the Sugar Babes and we have Girls Aloud to look forward to. But as far as those acts that debuted that early on, it was looking like curtains down, yeah.
And it was curtains down for sort of SMTV and...
Those types of shows as well, yeah. It was sort of an end of an era by that point, yeah.
Absolute end of an era, which is such a shame. But so lore goes that it was entirely their decision, the four of them, to call it a day. Apparently the label and their parents all would have loved them to continue. And it was them that were saying, you know, we want to call it a day. We want to enjoy ourselves. We also can't keep continuing doing this, like, all is happy, like really happy in A-Teens world. They all, what's really wonderful is they all have really, as far as they've said, they all have really positive memories towards everything. But as this time, you know, look, we've said all this amazing work, but they worked so hard. These young teenagers are gonna have burnout. They deserve a break and a rest.
Definitely. The band had been together for about 6 years by this point. They've sold how many millions of records worldwide? 5 million records worldwide or something? 1.5 million singles worldwide. They have toured extensively. This wasn't a territory-specific band. They worked very hard all around the world. You gotta give yourself room to grow at this point, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean, as much as I would love them to come back, and I would still love them to come back, I hugely respect them leaving it where they were. This album went in at number 16 on the Swedish charts, wasn't released here in the UK, and wasn't released in America. It was released in Mexico, Argentina, Germany, Europe, and Asia. It was due to be released in America, but it kept getting pushed back. And then the crossover was going to be with Dani's debut single. They'd done a greatest hits tour in Europe. It just felt like you've pushed it too back. We've called it a day. You can't, like, we're not going to promote this now.
Yeah. And also, actually, their US label kind of folded as well. MCA folded into Geffen Records and eventually got bought by Universal. So I think they were having some sort of label issues on the state side, which I think was already there when they were doing New Arrival. So it kind of felt like a good time to just leave it, you know?
As we wrap up this act and this era and this incredible Y2K defining pop act, I'd love to give you a quick once over of some of their finest solo work, if you will. Imagine how young all these guys still were by the time they'd wrapped up, which is why they've given us such fine and classy moments of the rest of their career. You know, they still had everything ahead of them and they're all killing it individually in what they do. Now, very shortly after 18's, Dani released his debut single, a very JT style solo debut, Girl Talk. And he is now absolutely killing it as both a music producer and just being like a gorgeous man dating pop star Alice. But first and foremost, killing it as a producer. So Armit's now working outside of the business, but also released an EP of a collection of work. Absolutely.
He's had an album.
He has had a mini album, if you will.
It's a full album on Spotify from what I can see.
I mean, that's not the top line he'd give it, but good for you. He studied at the London School of Economics and joined his family business, now working in energy tech. So hats off to him. Absolutely go for
Get
it.
Sure.
My girl, Sarah.
Queen.
This is it for the JB. So when we talk about, like, MySpace era of music, to me, she's the queen of the MySpace era of music.
Not Sandy Tom, not Lily Allen, is Sarah Love.
A rebrand.
That was the alias she went after.
And this, oh, I love it so much.
Tell me about this song. Go for it. Don't gag. Just tell me.
So she had a whole era. Thank you, David. Putting me in check. And this was a very pre-Lady Gaga era. Very fun, sexy, out there pop. The single was called Glamour Bitch. And you could have seen it front and center of my MySpace profile for a long period of time. Louis Vuitton purse, Gucci glasses. Girl, get money like a movie actress. The Sarah Love era, she had a whole album ready to go. And labels just said it was too edgy at the time and they couldn't get their head around it. Year later, Lady Gaga is the biggest pop star on the planet. More for them. We would love Sarah to release that now, get it on streaming. We would absolutely live for it.
What's interesting about this whole Sarah Love era is that before I knew properly about 18s, aside from Can't Help Falling in Love, I really loved her cover of Olivia Newton-John's Physical. It all was a full circle moment.
Full circle.
We must quickly, very quickly say, 2011, Melody Festivalen, Sarah went for it with a song called Enemy, which was giving me Cheryl Cole Fight for This Love vibe.
Well, she stole that. She went, oh, you done with that? Thanks. I'll pop that on.
I'll pop that red jacket on. I'm going to give you military vibes. And I really like Enemy. That was stuck in my head for days this week.
Absolutely brilliant. So we look back at it and we go, oh my God, how could she lose that? She lost out to Loreen with Euphoria, which is the greatest.
That was the year of Loreen. I didn't even know.
And that's who she lost out to. So, sorry, while it's such a shame, that was the greatest song of modern Eurovision. So you can completely see that. So she now works in events, lives in the UK, in Portsmouth. We don't want to give it too close details.
Not going to drop the pin on the map.
But also works as, or has worked as, a pole dance instructor over the years. Now, that is the kind of fitness I want to get into. So I want to get myself down to Portsmouth.
Come on, Sarah, put out that fitness DVD.
Glamour Bitch, the workout DVD to the hits of the iTunes. Can you believe? Would love it. So to then wrap up to our final member, David, the year of Mella Festivalen that she competed was only hosted by fellow 18s member, Marie. So Marie has probably had, in terms of straight up mainstream pop, the biggest solo career out of everyone. So off the back of the 18s, she had a big pop album. Some would say she was Sweden's answer to Britney Spears with her debut, and unfortunately only solo album to date. And this album featured two really big singles, That's the Way My Heart Goes, and also I Need a House, which was later covered by Same Difference over here.
Wow. I mean, That's the Way My Heart Goes. That music video was so glam. Big blonde hair, fake tan, Real Housewives kind of vibe. You know, I'm talking about the franchise Real Housewives.
Before that was even a thing.
She was giving me Swedish Ashley Roberts. I was living for it. And, you know, I haven't really had time to process Marie's album, Enjoy the Ride.
It's great.
But I'm going to get into it. I feel like this is something I definitely would stan. It was a top 10 hit in Sweden. It had a limited release overseas, including Taiwan. Shout out Taiwan. Come a little closer. Yeah, that's right. God, so electric when you squeeze me tight. Oh, the way you touch me makes me high. Down with your baby. From what I can see from her Instagram, she's very much that kind of mummy influencer. She's got that look and that profile. And over the last few years, it looks like she's done a few reality shows and presenting and that kind of stuff. So
Marie's killing it as a presenter. She also competed for Eurovision, unfortunately didn't make it, but then presented that show, Mella Festivalen, also was the judge on the one and only season of the Swedish X Factor.
Wow.
Was a contestant on Dancing with the Stars Sweden, where because she was a contestant on it, the other three members of the 18s came to watch and support her.
Wow.
And they all got like the first photo of the four of them together in years, which was
precious.
Absolutely incredible. Absolutely precious. For me, imagine me sitting there going, oh my God. When I'm doing Dance with the Stars Australia, you've got to come and do a VT and sit in the audience. Yes, pans to you clapping, David Lim, Joel's co-host. I mean, I've got a bit of work to do to get that Z list, but hopefully we can work on it.
So we've had such an incredible time digging into the body of work of 18s. I have to say, we didn't come to this, or I personally didn't come to this moment by myself. I was a little bit pushed on and encouraged by the Vice article that you shared with me, JB, that was a sort of appraisal of what happened to 18s, and it was an interview with Dani. And in there, Dani revealed that Britney came up to them in a shopping mall in America after they supported her on tour.
While they were shopping in LA in 2003, Britney went up to them and went, oh my God, aren't you guys the 18s? And they were like, oh my God, Britney herself recognizes us.
Can you imagine, yeah.
David? Lastly, I would just love to say, I would love, love, love to see these guys reunite. I can completely see why they haven't, but I would love to see such a sexy, edgy pop reunion, a Swedish produced version of the Steps reunion, if you will. I just again want to give a big thanks to this band, this music, and these sugary sweet Y2K perfect pop bops are my eternal happy place.
Love it. And thank you so much, JB, for bringing 18s into my life.
So guys, thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying what we're doing, please follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms, even TikTok. You can email our hearts, rightbackpod@gmail.com. You can follow me at Dr_Joel B, and you can follow him at
Love Limmy.
Until next time, bye.